and they find it absolutely hilarious. They aren't the X. They aren't no names. And they aren't gentlemen. They are Gemma and King. And this is Social Downfall Radio.
Yes, it is the show that has not yet been suspended under the WWE wellness policy. It is Social Downfall Radio. My name is King.
And it's Gemma.
And that news just kind of broke a couple minutes ago as we're getting ready to go on air. Both Paige and Alberto Del Rio. I can't roll my R's. Can you roll your R's?
Not when talking.
When doing what, then? Whoa, maybe we should... I forgot, we're going to try and keep this show PG. Anyway, we're going to be talking a lot more about SummerSlam and WWE and wrestling later on in the show, but that was just kind of an interesting thing as we're getting ready to come record. And Paige, Alberto Del Rio, both suspended. Now, the thing is, you know, because recently they've been connected, they've been linked romantically, even though I think Del Rio's still technically married?
I think he is.
Isn't he? So, a lot of drama there. And then, of course, they got drafted to two different brands. He got drafted to... was he on Raw?
He's on SmackDown. She's on Raw.
Okay. I honestly forget who was drafted to who, especially with some of the talents who we don't know. You know, they're not on a lot. And she hasn't been on since the draft.
No, she hasn't.
There's been a lot of talk about her being injured, but there was also talk of her being very unhappy and dissatisfied because they drafted both her and Del Rio to different shows. So now they're on different tours, so now they're not together. So there was kind of a bit of animosity there, apparently. Rumors, again, unsubstantiated rumors, but rumors nonetheless.
They're doing it to keep them apart.
Well, they were doing it to stay together, but...
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's my sex noise.
I am so proud of you.
You should be. I'm able to. Never mind. I was going to say something about being able to use my mouth in wonderful new ways, but you know, again, we're trying to keep it PG. We're trying to. Failing miserably, but trying nonetheless. And really, it's about the effort.
Sure, it is.
That long silence of pause just was like, I felt shame from that pause. That pause was like, no, stop it. Anyway, so we got another episode here, another week. How have you been, Gemma?
I've been pretty good.
What, anything fun happening to you this week?
Not really.
Okay, another long pause, which means no. So that's good. Well, hey, you know what? You're here now. So this is something interesting happening this week.
This is something interesting.
So, and last week was kind of interesting because it got us started on a topic. It was, last week was National Lazy Day. I believe it was, right?
Yes, it was.
And we started talking about what made us procrastinate and be just, you know, the lazy bastards that we are. Before we came up to this show, I was like, I wanted to, you know, see what were going to be the holidays, the international, you know, whatever days or national, you know, chow days or, you know, puppy chow or, you know, whatever. I don't know why puppy chow came to my head, but.
The unobserved national holidays.
Well, unobserved, it's only unobserved. Wait a minute. Hold on. Again, we need to get soundproofing in here because, like, the bell... we have, like, a toll bell every time, you know, the clock hits the top of the hour, you know? And so I'm sitting here trying to do a show and all I hear is dong in the background. And it's really bugging me. Anyway, now that we're done with that distraction... now, you said unobserved holidays.
As in, they're not... normally
recognized. You know what? Listen, if you observe, you know, if I observe them, to me, it's an observed holiday.
Yes, to us it is, but to the general public, it really isn't.
Well, I don't know.
We had to look them up.
We did have to look them up because they don't mark them on a calendar. Those calendars only for like the legitimate national holidays recognized by the United States government.
So we'll say the unmarked national holidays. How about that?
I don't know.
We'll figure something
out. We'll find a terminology for it. Anyway, but I wanted to do what the holidays were going to be for when the show came out. Not when we recorded. Because when we recorded, you know, because we're recording on a Wednesday. The show comes out on a Thursday. If we talk about what happened on the day we record, it's already passed. And nobody cares then.
No, they don't.
You want to hear what happens the day you listen to this show. And that's what we're here to do. We're going to provide that for you. So here are the national holidays for August 18th. The show, the day the show comes out. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
You strapped in?
Strapped in.
Ready to go? National Helium Discovery Day.
So they discovered helium?
They discovered helium on August 18th, apparently.
Thank
I was
you.
Not aware of that.
I was not.
Well, again, helium, it was, you know, hydrogen and helium were discovered relatively late on, you know,
that
scientifically. So... Well, yeah, you watch a bunch of those scientific documentaries on YouTube and stuff.
I like it.
You're big into all the science and spacey stuff.
Yep.
Let's see. What do we have next? National Mail Order Catalog Day.
Soon to be replaced by National Amazon Day.
I was going to say, the mail order catalog kind of has gone by the wayside now with, you know, Amazon and Amazon Prime and all that good stuff. By the way, most of the equipment that you're hearing us on came from Amazon. Thank you very much, Amazon. Please sponsor us. But yeah, I can't remember the last time if I ever have ordered something through a mail order catalog.
I never did, but I remember as a teenager and a preteen getting the Delia's catalogs. Those were like my obsession.
My biggest things were like when I got the new sports catalogs that would come in, and it would have all the new merchandise for that particular year. So it would be like the new, like, you know, like if, especially if a team got like a new logo or new uniform or something, and go and look and, you know, getting that first look at it. Again, this was before the internet. This is like in the early to mid 90s. And you'd get that, and I just go through the whole thing. Oh, man, that looks so cool. Oh, man, that looks great. Oh, I want to buy that. Of course, you know, I was, you know, 12, 13 years old. I wasn't buying anything, but...
That was the same with me with the Delia's catalogs, but it was
what is a Delia's?
Delia's. It was a preteen / teen clothing store.
Oh, okay. So it was like Hot Topic for your day.
Not really Hot Topic. More like... Claire's or...
Oh, okay, so it wasn't pretentious and trying too hard.
No, it was cute. Cute and girly. Shocker.
Now, don't get me wrong. See, here's the thing I hate about Hot Topic. Go, you know, kind of switching topics here a little bit. The thing I hate about Hot Topic is that a lot of the stuff they have is actually interesting and cool to somebody who's, like, of a nerdy preset such as me or you. I really do like it.
It's walking in.
It's just having to deal with the people who go to Hot Topic. And it's like, it's just... You know, I don't want to be seen in, like, a Hot Topic and be thought of as, like, a Hot Topic person. Now, granted, I'm a 35-year-old man. I probably shouldn't be in Hot Topic anyway. That's just, you know, now we're talking about levels of creepiness here. But, like, you know, I like a lot of, you know, they have the cool graphic tees. They got all, like, the Funko Pop figures and everything. And a lot of cool nerd... They got a bunch of cool nerd stuff that you can't really... enjoy because of the people around you.
Hot Topic has great merch, bad people.
Good merch, bad people. That should be the tagline.
Thank God for online shopping, though, because we could just order it off the internet.
Or you always kind of have the adult version of Hot Topic, which is Spencer's Gifts, which is always kind of fun to go into. Because they got a bunch of nerd stuff there as well. And plus, like, you know, vibrators and such.
I was going to say adult toys, but okay.
They have a bunch of adult toys. And no, I'm sorry. Well, yeah, so you went to more... Well, vibrator is kind of PG-ish, I guess.
I guess.
Adult massagers.
There we go.
There. We'll use that. Well, PG. That and all the black light pop posters.
I love those posters. Those are my favorite to look at.
They're fun to look at. And that's the thing. Even though, like, I never smoked weed, like, in my teenage years.
Neither did I. Yeah, no.
Long silence. But no, seriously, I never smoked weed during my teenage years. But still, when I went into, like, Spencer's Gift at Newport Mall in Jersey City, there's a little plug there for you. I don't even know if they're still around. I don't even know if Newport Mall is still in existence. But
I've never heard of Newport Mall.
Well, no. Well, you've never been to Jersey City, so... But, I mean, I remember going in there, and yeah, like, the back area that had all the different lava lamps and, like, the disco ball lights and the posters with the black light on it and stuff like that. Yeah, that stuff was awesome to look at. I didn't need to be high to enjoy that stuff. I mean, that stuff was really cool. Now, could you imagine seeing this stuff while high? I don't know, you know? Have you ever been to Spencer's? Have you ever been to Spencer's on weed? But anyway, going back to our national holiday discussion, focus. What do we got here? National Ice Cream Pie Day.
What's an ice cream pie?
I don't know. I've heard of ice cream cake. Like, Carvel obviously has some of the best ice cream cakes you could ever hope to have, especially with the cookie crunches. But ice cream pie?
I don't know. I don't know if that works.
No, I've had ice cream on pie, obviously. Apple pie, a la mode, well, yeah, that kind of thing. But yeah, ice cream pie in itself, I don't think I've ever had. I'm going to have to look that up and see what actually an ice cream pie is.
I kind of want it now.
I kind of do as well. I wonder if it's just like ice cream with, like, in a pie crust, you know?
Maybe.
Like something like that, which it's still listen, it's ice cream. It's not going to be bad. It's ice cream. The only way it could be bad is if it's mint chocolate chip.
What, do you have a problem with mint chocolate chip?
Mint chocolate chip is the diarrhea of ice cream flavors.
Shut
it's
up.
The worst.
Just shut.
It is the
shut.
Absolute worst.
No. Mint yes. chocolate chip is the second best ice cream.
No.
Yes.
Mint chocolate chip is the absolute worst.
Get out.
No, you get out.
No.
It's in my studio. Get out.
So? Out.
We also... I'm just going to skip over that. It is also National Serendipity Day. Okay. I feel Now, are they talking about serendipity as in the actual, you know, having a serendipitous moment or something like that? Or are they talking about that awful movie?
I've never seen the movie.
I forget who's in it. I wonder if it's John... Is it John Cusack in the movie? I don't know. It's something awful. It's something awful.
Wait, you skipped one.
I did skip one. I was saving the best for last because it's actually one of my favorites.
No, then you skipped two.
No. Did I? Oh, yes, I did skip two. Okay, so we'll go back. Look at that. Listen, my eyes are bad, okay? I've actually noticed that, like, I need to go to the eye doctor because I'm seeing, like, spots in front of me.
No good.
Oh, it's definitely no good. That's the diabetes. Okay, so we have National Bad Poetry Day.
As a former angsty teen, this holds a special place in my heart.
Oh, Captain, my Captain.
That's not bad poetry. Get out. Out. Out.
Oh. A good movie, though. Dead Poets Society.
Movie.
Very good. Robin Williams before he killed himself.
Just shut up. Shush. Out.
Listen, I love Robin Williams in some of his roles. Some of his comedy is absolutely funny, and he's gold in those roles, especially Good Will Hunting as well. But I was never the one to be like everybody started like crying and absolutely losing their mind when he died. It's like, yeah, I get it, like, but it's not a national loss, man. It's not, you know, it's not some great tragedy. Yeah, it's sad, but you know, calm the F down, man.
I was upset. I will admit that, but I wasn't, like, overly upset.
Nanu. Wow, you're too young. What? You don't even remember Mork and Mindy?
No.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Don't judge me, monkey.
I will judge you all I want. And, okay, finally, and we'll get to the last one. This kind of goes in with National Ice Cream Pie Day. I guess we have two national ice cream kind of days. It's National Soft Ice Cream Day.
Now, do they mean soft serve?
I believe they mean soft serve by that.
Soft serve is the best ice cream ever.
Absolutely. And honestly, here's the thing. If you don't get chocolate vanilla swirl, then you're not a human being, and I don't trust you.
Dairy Queen messed up my chocolate vanilla swirl.
That's a bad Dairy Queen we went to over the weekend.
It was just a blob of vanilla, a blob of chocolate, a blob of vanilla. It wasn't even like...
No, they said that there was something wrong with the machine or something, that they couldn't do a swirl, that they had to layer it or something like that. I don't know. I've never heard of that. So either they were too dumb to work the machine, which is definitely a possibility with the people that were working there.
Yeah, I worked a soft serve ice cream machine back in college, and it was the easiest thing ever.
Back in my day, I was able to work soft serve ice cream.
Well, it was a free machine we had in our cafeteria.
I was going to say, did you just kind of, you know, put your head underneath the spigot and just like...
I did not.
Did you want? Did you think about it?
I thought of it.
Okay.
And watched people do it.
Oh, so people did actually do it.
Yes.
Listen, as long as they didn't put their mouth on the spigot, I think it's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. As long as you don't get your germs all up in there.
That was one of two good things about my college cafeteria.
What was the other one?
Sundays were waffle day. Like the Belgian waffles.
I haven't had waffles in forever. For some reason, I've had a recent craving for waffles. I don't know
waffles.
Why.
Let's make waffles.
Let's make waffles. Let's make biscuits. Let's make biscuits. I'm sorry. I love Gurr. And listen, I will make random Invader Zim references just anywhere. So I think everybody's kind of got to get used to that with me. Anyway, nothing to add to that?
No. I was going to try for a Gurr reference, but
I was going
to
say, there was no, I was waiting for the Gurr quote coming from you, but just nothing, huh?
Nothing.
Just nothing?
Nothing comes to mind offhand.
Oh, man. Okay.
Disclaimer. I am very bad with quotes. I've noticed that listening to you and your sister.
You're hanging out. Yeah, that's it. You're hanging out with the wrong person if you're bad with quotes. Because I live my life by movie quotes.
I've seen movies way more than 10 times and I still can't quote them.
I see a movie once and just start quoting it. I mean, I've already been quoting Suicide Squad. And we just saw that like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So, anyway, coming up next, we got some Olympic stories here for you. And probably the most prominent one that I've seen anyway. Is it about gold medalist? Is it about the gymnastics team? Is it about, those inspiring stories? No, not quite. We're going to have that coming up next right here on Social Downfall Radio.
Are you a musician? Are you a singer-songwriter? Are you someone that needs help audio editing? Look no further than Brainstew Media. Based out of northern New Jersey, Brainstew Media is your one-stop shop for all of your audio needs. Whether you're looking to record your first demo, your next album, or your next concert, Brainstew Media provides the best service and prices you will find. Check out our rates, studio, and portfolio by going to brainstewmedia.com today.
Connect to Social Downfall on social media, like on Facebook at facebook.com/socialdownfallradio, and follow us on Twitter at Social Downfall, minus the O in downfall.
So it's like S-C-I-A-L? Oh, in downfall, so social, S-O-C-I-A-L-D-W-N. Yeah, that'll work. That sucks, though. It's hard to work with.
If you ever get so low that you don't know which way to go, come on and take a walk in my shoes. Never worry about a thing, got the world on a string, 'cause I've got the cure for all of my blues. I take a look at my enormous penis, and my troubles start a-melting away.
Social Downfall Radio here with you. And Gemma has not been able to stop giggling.
You're killing me, Smalls.
But believe it or not, we're talking about the Olympics. I'm sure you're wondering, how does this song fit in with talking about the Olympics? Well, it's a pretty interesting story. And actually, when you think about it, it's kind of sad. It's kind of a sad story. But I guess it's kind of is it a good problem to have? I guess I don't know. I don't really know how to really handle this story. Anyway. A Japanese pole vaulter will be particularly crushed by his Olympic failure. And here's the reason why. Athlete Hiroki Ogita was attempting to clear a height of 5.3 meters in the pole vault qualification rounds when disaster struck. His shin first grazed the bar as he dropped to the ground as it caused it to wobble. So the you know, you've seen the pole vault when they try to go over it. Yeah, so his shin kind of grazed it, caused it to wobble a little bit, but it didn't come off. So that's a good thing. And that happens every now and then. You'll see the bar wobble, but it won't fall.
Yeah.
You know, and listen, as long as it doesn't fall, you've cleared it. You're good. You know what I mean? Then as he was going over, his thigh lightly grazed it as well, although it looked like it was going to be able to stay in place and he'd be fine. Like, it was just, you know, it was going to be one of those things where you saw it wobble, didn't fall, he would have made the height, which would have put him into the medal rounds, as it were, and, you know, through the preliminary rounds there into the medal rounds. But then, so we've gotten the shin kind of grazed it, his thigh kind of grazed it. Now we're moving up, and there was a problem. Because his penis touched the bar. And while his shin and his thigh did not knock the bar off of the pole vault, well, his pole did. As he was jumping over the pole vault, his penis hit the bar and knocked the bar off, thus making his jump a disqualification jump, or I don't know what they call it, but, you know, he didn't clear it.
He did clear it on his second attempt, but he did not move on.
Right, but it was only a height of 5.45 meters, which put him in 21st place, and thus not into the medal rounds there. He didn't move on from there, so his penis cost him his Olympic dream. Now, here, there's a couple questions, or a couple thoughts. I don't know if they're really questions, but it is definitely a couple of thoughts. One, wouldn't you wear, like, some kind of jock or something? Like, I understand that you want to have all your athletic ability or something like that, but especially with something like pole vault, like, or like a high jump, or something of that nature, where anything, any little graze can knock that off. You know, you kind of want to keep everything snug.
Yeah, tight, I imagine,
don't you?
So
that's kind of a weird thing I was thinking of. Another thing is, if there's ever such a thing as, like, a good way to get knocked out of the Olympics, is this one of them?
No, this is a sad way.
But I don't know. Like, it's like, yeah, no, I didn't get to go into the medal round. I didn't get a chance to go for a gold medal. But I have a huge schwanz. So life is good. Hey, ladies, look, I may not have a gold medal around my neck, but I have a gold medal around my penis. He has a gold medal penis, apparently. That's a championship penis right there. And maybe, probably my last thought of it, or last just kind of, you know, whatever goes through my head. I don't know what it is. Stereotypically. Okay, and I know right there a lot of people are either going to start laughing or start getting pissed off. But stereotypically, Asians are supposed to have very tiny penises. So small. Very tiny penis. Unlike the stereotypical African-American gentleman, or just black man in general, who is stereotyped to have, you know, mandingo-sized penises. You know, very, very large, you know, tree trunk-sized penises. Stereotypically. Again, just saying it out there. So, did it strike anybody else as odd that this particular Japanese fellow has a big enough penis to ruin his Olympic dreams?
It did strike me as odd. Now, what I want to know, though...
Okay, all right.
Was it soft? Was it partially hard?
That's what I'm wondering. Like,
did he get turned on by pole vaulting?
Now, here's the thing. He is in Rio, you know, and, you know, if you look into the stands and you see some hot 19-year-old Brazilian shaking her booty right before you're ready to go full extension on your pole vault... You know, do you get turgid? I don't know. Would I? Yes, but I'm a horny son of a bitch. So that's why, well, that and I also have zero athletic talent, so that's another reason why I wouldn't be doing pole vault. But still, let's say, for the sake of argument, that I could pole vault, I probably wouldn't be able to do it. Or I would do what I had suggested and wear a pretty tight jock, just to make sure that there was no unwarranted extension.
Well, I guess he's learned his lesson to either do that or not look around.
But here's the thing. He may never get back to the Olympics. This was like his one shot. Now, this could be his one shot at, like, Olympic glory. And he didn't... See, here's the thing. He didn't get his medals, but he still got some sort of Olympic glory. Because the man's story has gone around the world as the man with the penis too big to win. And doesn't that really make you a winner in the end?
I guess it does.
Especially in Japan?
Yeah, it definitely does.
I mean, he's going to be covered in Japanese ladies. I would imagine so. If they're used to the stereotypical Asian Japanese size penis, and this Japanese man has a relatively large penis, he's going to be covered in Japanese girls. It's going to be hentai all day.
I thought of it. What if his leotard or whatever that he's wearing was just too loose and he swung when he was jumping?
If you look at the pictures, it does kind of look like that. Like, it looks like as he makes the jump, because they kind of go like almost upside down when they're jumping over on the pole vault. So, and that what it looks like is that his wangus kind of flipped up towards his abdomen, and then as he was going over, the gravity on the wangus slammed it down onto the bar and knocked it off.
So it may not be about size; it may just be about momentum and the way he was moving.
It could be, I think it's a mixture of both. I think it's a fact that he had a pretty endowed wangus. And the fact that gravity, it was a big enough wangus that gravity had an effect on it.
I guess.
You know?
Yeah.
Again, you know what? We got to call up like Neil deGrasse Tyson or Bill Nye or somebody on it. We need to have like a, or like get the ESPN sports people to do, you know, how they do like the sports science stuff.
I'll go call them right now.
The science of pole vaulting penis stuff. That's a working title. We'll get a better one later on.
You know who we can ask?
Who can we ask?
That one, the PBS people from the science.
Space Time.
Space Time, that's
yes.
It.
Yes, we'll see.
Because they do a lot of, like, physics and stuff.
They do physics and, yeah, we need people, not physicians, people who, I don't know, what do you call somebody who does physics?
I don't know.
A physicist. There we go.
Physicist. Okay, there we go.
We need some physicists. We'll get some physicists on the case here. Maybe, dude, this could be like somebody's thesis.
Yeah.
Like, we have, like, if somebody's, like, going to college or something and they're doing, like, physics, you can do, like, my thesis on the rotation of the Earth and central gravity as it pertains to penises in pole vaulting during the Olympics. Boom. Done. I just gave somebody an A.
A plus.
Oh, come on. Look at that. Social Downfall Radio, helping the college children of America.
Give us a call, people.
Coming up next, it's the latest game show sweeping the nation as of today. Again, that's coming up next right here on Social Downfall Radio. Who doesn't like to be naked? Sure, we all do. But the police usually frown upon public nudity. Well, now you can stay out of jail and look good doing so with a t-shirt from Skunk Duck Design. From sports to politics to the wide world of nerdcraft, there's a shirt for you at Skunk Duck. They even have shirts for you for 20 followers. Skunk Duck shirts come in both regular and women's cut, and with sizes from extra small to 5XL, there's a shirt for everyone. Oh, did I mention they have hoodies too? Because they totally have hoodies. Go to teespring.com/stores/skunkduckdesign to get the shirt that's right for you. That's teespring.com/stores/skunkduckdesign. New shirts are being added all the time, so follow Skunk Duck on social media at facebook.com/skunkduckdesign. Design for all the latest updates. Skunk Duck Design, the best ducking designs on the web.
These two were voted most likely to succeed in high school, which proves high school students have always been pretty fucking stupid. Now, back to Social Downfall Radio.
Now, it's time for America's favorite game show that only airs for a few minutes on a podcast during the Olympics every 4 years. Gold Medal or Gryffindor? Now, here's your host, King Winkelstein.
Thank you, Roddy, and welcome once again, everybody, to Gold Medal or Gryffindor, the game show that makes you guess between an Olympic gold medalist and an obscure character from one of the Harry Potter novels. Yes, It's going to be a fun show today. We have here our guest, our contestant, Gemma. Hi, Gemma. How are you? Where are you from?
Hi, King.
Nobody cares. Anyway, Gemma, she's going to be playing today for the prize of peanut butter.
Woo!
Peanut butter, helping lonely girls and their dogs have fun since 1899. I think. I don't know when peanut butter was invented. Anyway, why don't we get right into the show here? Again, if we ask you the question, gold medalist or Gryffindor, which means you have to guess whether they've won a gold medal in the Olympics this year, 2016, in Rio, or if they're an obscure character from one of the Harry Potter books. Again, they will also only be from House Gryffindor. That is it. We're not going to throw any Slytherin in there at you. No, we're fair players here on Gold Medal or Gryffindor. That's why the show was named that. Anyway, if you do get a right answer, you will be hearing this. And if you're wrong, you'll be hearing this. I expect to hear a lot of this. I'm just saying. That's just my bet. If I was a betting man, and I am, I have a severe gambling problem. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. That would be my bet, too. Anyway, are you ready to go, Gemma?
Let's go.
Are you ready for the game?
Sure.
Are you sure? 100% positive?
Absolutely.
Okay, good. The first name we have for you is Niccolò Campriani. Niccolò Campriani. Now, is that a gold medalist or is that a member of Gryffindor?
Gold medalist?
She says gold medalist, and the answer is yes, gold medalist. Niccolò Campriani won the men's 50-meter rifle gold medal at the Rio Olympics. See, they all right. See, you're off to a good start. 1 out of 1. Very nice. Second question here for you. Lee Jordan, is that a gold medalist or a member of Gryffindor? TikTok, Gemma, TikTok.
Gryffindor.
She says Gryffindor, and the answer is yes, Gryffindor. Wow, 2 for 2. Can't pull the wool over your eyes. Of course, I also think you're cheating, and now the peanut butter prize will not be given to you at all. But anyway, yes, Lee Jordan was the Quidditch commenter from the books and also the movie as well. All right, now we go to number 3. Now, who was this? Dorian Van Rieselberg. Dorian Van Rieselberg. Is that a gold medalist or is that a member of Gryffindor?
Gold medalist.
Gemma says gold medalist. The correct answer is gold medalist. Yes, Dorian Van Rieselberg. Some Dutch guy won men's windsurfing. Yes, windsurfing is actually an Olympic sport, and he won a gold medal at it. Good for him. He still has to go live in the Netherlands. Okay, let's see here. Next one. What's the next one? Now, see, you're 3 for 3. You haven't missed one. Here's where it gets difficult. Now you don't know what's coming.
Finally.
Wow. Unbelievable. Alex Trebek doesn't have to pull up with this BS. You know that, right? He has people killed on his behalf. I can do that as well. Anyway, our next clue, I guess. I don't know what we'd actually call this. It's not really a question. But anyway, gold medalist or Gryffindor, Kenneth Towler. Kenneth Towler. Gold medalist or Gryffindor?
Gold medalist.
You say gold medalist, and the answer is...
Oh, really?
Oh, so sorry. You suck. Kenneth Towler began attending Hogwarts in 1989. Fred Weasley once put Bulbadox powder in his pajamas, causing his skin to break out in boils.
I didn't know he had a name.
See, there you go. Ha. Ooh, the difficulty level ratchets it up just a little bit here. So as we continue here on Gold Medal or Gryffindor, again brought to you by delicious, lovely peanut butter. Now in chunky style, we don't know if that's diarrhea or actually peanut butter. Only your taste buds will know for sure. Patricia Stimson. Is that a gold medalist or is that Gryffindor?
I'm going to go Gryffindor.
You say Gryffindor, and the correct answer is yes, Gryffindor. Patricia Stimson, George Weasley stated that she repeatedly fainted out of stress in the weeks preceding her OWL exams.
I guessed.
That doesn't. Well, hey, listen, you don't have to be smart to play this game, as you've obviously kind of proven here today.
Hey,
I'm just. The producers told me that. I don't know. I don't even meet you contestants. No, you're pretty dumb. Anyway, next on here on gold medal or Gryffindor, Hasanboy Dusmatov, gold medalist. Or Gryffindor.
Gold medalist.
You say gold medalist. That is correct. He won the gold medal in the men's light flyweight boxing event. Figured that one would trip you up with all the weird names and such. But, those Uzbekistanis. Yes, he's Uzbekistani, by the way. So, that's why I figured you wouldn't even know. Because, you know, the whole intelligence level not being high. Anyway, right here on Gold Medal of Gryffindor, again, your favorite game show of 2016. Which is still 2016, right? Okay.
Yeah.
I lose track of time. All that damn alcoholism. Anyway, coming up next, the final clue. This is for all the marbles. If you get this one wrong, you lose the entire game. If you win, lifetime supply of peanut butter for you and your pet dog. Raza Mohammed. Is that a gold medalist or is that Gryffindor? Tick-tock, Gemma, tick-tock.
Let's go.
Tick-tock.
Let's go Gryffindor.
Just a wild guess here. Going for Gryffindor.
Yeah.
She has no idea. The correct answer is... Yes! Raza Mohammed was a Gryffindor student at Hogwarts in the 1990s. He was usually seen in the Clock Tower courtyard, where he enjoyed playing gobstones with other students. So, Gemma, you missed one question, I believe, out of all these. But I don't like your face, so you're not winning anyway. You're going home with nothing. Thank you so much for playing. Ladies and gentlemen,
that's
thank you so
fair.
Much for paying attention to us here
hey,
at Gold Medal or Gryffindor. We will see you next year. Well, no, we won't. We'll see you in 4 years, maybe, if we're still alive right here
peanut
on Gold Medal or Gryffindor. We will see you next time.
Wacky waving inflatable arm flailing tube man. Wacky waving inflatable arm flailing tube man. Wacky waving inflatable arm flailing tube man.
Hi, I'm Al Harrington, president and CEO of Al Harrington's Wacky Waving Inflatable Arm Flailing Tube Man Emporium and Warehouse. Thanks to a shipping error, I am now currently overstocked on Wacky Waving Inflatable Arm Flailing Tube Men, and I am passing the savings on to you! Attract customers to your business. Make a splash at your next presentation. Keep grandma company. Protect your crops. Confuse your neighbors. African American, hail a cab. Testify in church or just raise the roof. Whatever your wacky waving inflatable arm flailing tube man needs are. So come on down to Al Harrington's Wacky Waving Inflatable Arm Flailing Tube Man Emporium and Warehouse. Route 2 in Weekapog.
More addictive than Game of War. And we didn't even need Kate Upton's boobs. Now, back to Social Downfall Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, your hero has returned again. Everything is going to be okay.
Social Downfall Radio here with you. Coming back, King Gemma. As we do every week, except for that kind of long period of time in June and early July, but outside of that tainted bit of time here for Social Downfall Radio, joke. Anyway, this next story is kind of weird because we kind of stay away from a lot of this stuff.
All of this stuff.
Because it's. But here's the thing about it: is that it's not really political. Like it's kind of political, but it's not really political. I guess is.
I wouldn't call it political.
I wouldn't call it political either. It's just stupid. Well, here's basically what it is. Here's the headline of the story that I actually read. I actually reposted it on my personal Facebook, which is j.quincyking, because they won't. I had King on the air, but then Facebook did their whole, well, that's not your real name, and you can't use it, Davey. Crap. Anyway, headline reads, website issues apology after, quote-unquote, triggering readers with positive Sausage Party review. Now, if anybody out there doesn't know what Sausage Party is, it is the film that kind of looks like a Pixar movie, you know, with the, you know, instead of having anthropomorphic cars or, you know, talking dinosaurs or whatever the hell it is, it's talking grocery store food. It's got talking hot dogs and hot dog buns and potatoes and tomatoes and all that stuff.
And tacos.
And tacos. So there was a website that actually did a positive review on a movie because it seems like a funny movie. I want to see it.
I can't wait to see it.
You know, I love kind of dirty movies and dirty humor anyway, so I mean that's kind of my thing. But here's how the story goes. Most people who see Seth Rogen's Sausage Party will probably be offended in some way. I think that's the point of the whole movie.
Yeah.
But you know, offensive can be funny, at least to me anyway. It's practically the point of the film. That didn't stop some social justice warriors from loving it. But when the uber progressive blog Autostrado, I guess that's how you say it, I don't know, published a freelancer's positive review of the film, their readers angrily forced them to apologize. And that they did, in an unintentionally hilarious 2,600-word mea culpa, filled with chat logs, reader mail, and a clear window into the minds of modern social justice warriors. Now, I don't know if anybody knows this or not about me. I cannot stand SJWs. I cannot stand social justice warriors. I cannot stand the whole social justice movement thing. It's a bunch of pretentious people who want to take away the humor and funniness and just joy of life. I mean, because here's the thing. It's people. It's not even about being funny. It's not even about someone saying humorous. It's not even about people saying, you know, and he's, Here's an example. I'll throw this out as an example before we continue with the story. Just today, Ellen DeGeneres, you know, the lesbian, very left-leaning talk show host, you know, activist, you know, person of that nature. Lovely person. She has her silly show, whatever. I'm not a big fan of it, but people love it. You know, my mother watches it. My mother loves Ellen. Everybody loves Ellen. She recently posted a picture of herself riding on the back of Usain Bolt, the gold medalist, fastest man alive from Jamaica who just won another gold medal in the Olympics. Social justice warriors got upset and called her a racist. Ellen DeGeneres, mind you, got called a racist because she had a picture of herself riding on the back of Usain Bolt. Yeah. Just take that. Something as cute and as unoffensive as possible as, you know, doing a funny thing. Hey, I'm riding on the back of the fastest man on earth. Ha ha ha. Got turned into you're a racist.
What is wrong with these people?
You hate black people because you did that. Are you serious? So this is, I mean, that's just a glimpse of the mind into the SJWs, which is another reason why I dislike them. Another reason why I try not to talk about them on this show, because it does kind of rile me up a little bit. But, you know, it is what it is. Continuing with the story, if I may, the original piece that was stricken from the site was titled, quote-unquote, Salma Hayek is a surprisingly endearing lesbian taco and sausage party. Which is kind of an awesome title in and of itself.
Yeah.
The freelancer thought Hayek's taco character was a surprisingly nuanced and positive portrayal of lesbians. The readers, however, were pissed. Quote unquote, we heard from readers who questioned the consent of the sexual encounter between the taco and the hot dog bun. I want to stop. Again, I got to stop. I want everybody to take a moment to absorb that sentence. I want everybody to realize that this is something that somebody actually had to respond to. We heard from readers who questioned the consent of the sexual encounter between the taco and the hot dog bun.
It's an animated movie.
I don't even care about that. Just listen to that. People were upset regarding the sexual encounter between a taco and a hot dog bun. People got upset about an animated movie where a taco bun, where a taco and a hot dog bun had a sexual encounter, and that was problematic. That was quote unquote problematic for it. It triggered me.
I don't want to live in this world anymore.
Now, to continue with the article, there is some spoiler alerts, so in case you are going to see Sausage Party, haven't seen it yet or anything like that, you can skip the next, I don't know, minute or 2 minutes of the show if you'd like to. If not, listen, it's you know, I haven't seen it yet, and I'm basically spoiling it for myself, but, you know, I'm still going to go see the movie. This isn't going to spoil it.
How do I skip it?
I don't put your thumbs in your ears and go la 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 la. Anyway, spoiler alert, but this has been spoiled beforehand anyway. At the end of Sausage Party, all the food participate in a giant food orgy. Selma Hayek's taco eats out Kristen Wiig's hot dog bun, and there is no affirmative consent on screen.
It's bananas.
Jesus Christ. All right. Yeah, that's a point for Gemma. That was a good one. Oh, bananas. the senior editor writing the apology, Heather Hogan, was incensed by her mistake. Not only did she let a white writer write about Latinx experiences, but Hogan, a white ally, did nothing to stop it. I was blinded by my own whiteness existing inside a system of white supremacy, Hogan wrote. I must do better. Now, I really hope that was said in jest, like as poking fun of the whole situation. The problem is I'm never sure.
It feels like it, though.
It feels like something I would say. It feels like something I would say, yeah, in response to somebody who decided to have an absolutely insane reaction to something that's actually pretty funny. I was blinded by my own whiteness. I like that. She assured readers that she normally heavily polices opinions on the site, like with their Orange is the New Black reviews. Quote unquote, I personally edited every review so I could make sure the opinions voiced by our white writers were in line with the voices of black writers. Again, it seems like it's satirical, but when it comes to SJWs, I'm never quite sure. For the sake of transparency, Hogan published the chat logs where the editorial team discussed publishing the heinous wrong thinking opinion. And then it goes on to show a whole bunch of other stuff. Well, actually, I have the article posted on my Facebook. I'll post it on the Social Downfall Facebook as well. Again, if you're not a part of that, facebook.com/socialdownfallradio. Give us a like and you'll never miss an update, especially like that, so you can go ahead and read that particular article we were reading about. But it's gotten so ridiculous with the SJW stuff. I mean, to someone like me, like if you think about it, like Mel Brooks, who made movies such as, you know, Blazing Saddles and you know, Young Frankenstein, Spaceballs, things like that. You want to be able to get away with that stuff today. You want to be able to do it. You could, you know, and that's the thing. Mel Brooks, a Jew, makes fun of Jews a lot in his movies. You want to be able to do that today. It would be seen as anti-Semitic. A Jewish gentleman could not make a comedy about Jews because he would be called anti-Semitic.
It makes no sense.
This is the world we live in today, and it's nuts. It's insane. So the only thing I would say is go out, watch Sausage Party, support that movie, especially if you like offensive, terrible, just wrong, disgusting humor, such as I and such as Gemma, and support that movie and just kind of flip a bird to the social justice warriors of the world because I hate them.
Woohoo!
Anyway, coming up next, SummerSlam talk right here on Social Downfall Radio.
Do you like pro wrestling that is real, in your face, and not congested with cheesy promos or two-minute matches? Check out Pro Wrestling Magic. Independent wrestling has never looked better than Pro Wrestling Magic. Don't rely on superstars for your need of wrestling. Check out real pro wrestling from Pro Wrestling Magic. Check out their upcoming shows, schedules, roster, and announcements by going to their website, WrestlingIsMagic.com.
Just like the 1980s Nintendo cartridge, all we need is one good blow to work properly.
I don't understand.
Now, back to Social Downfall Radio.
Social Downfall Radio, getting ready for SummerSlam 2016 happening at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, New York, once again this year. And it's a kind of a weird one. It's a new one, you know, because we have the brand split not too long ago. So it's a bit different from last year or SummerSlam's past. Now, obviously, there's been pay-per-views with the bland. Well, that's kind of a slip, that's true. But the brand split that happened before. But this one is new, and we have the introduction of the new Universal Championship. Which I'm not a big fan of that name. And the more I read about it, the more I think about it, the more I kind of agree that it's probably not the best thing for the wrestlers, for the product, for the storylines. It to me, it seems like it's gonna water down a lot of the stuff a bit. Just, you know, and trying to get a story moving. I loved your idea, Gemma, which was to have the one overarching championship for both brands. Have it, you know, have the WWE championship, the champion of the company, and then you have a champion for each brand, and those champions will compete for the chance to be the WWE champion, and then you kind of have a tournament or something. Like, I think there's a couple ways to do it where you make the title big. Because here's the thing. Now that you have, you make this Universal Champion, you're already trying to make it bigger than your WWE World Championship, which has a lineage that goes back 50 some odd years, you know, that is supposed to be the top title. Now you're making a new title that's going to diminish it. And you're also favoring another title. It makes whoever's the champion, you know, whoever the WWE World Champion is, like second tier. It makes them like the Intercontinental Champion should be. And that's not what a world title should be. The world title should be the world title.
They're trying to make SmackDown the lesser, which it already is, but they're trying to broadcast that.
And that bugs me because the whole point of the brand split is to have two equal brands, to have two shows, and you treat them both. But the problem is that the both brands aren't getting equal treatment. Raw is favored and always has been favored, and that was the problem with the first brand split, is that they made SmackDown definitively the B show. The only person that didn't fall in line with that was Paul Heyman, who at that time was running SmackDown as the head writer. And while he was in charge, SmackDown actually overtook Raw in the ratings, which caused so much friction in backstage with him and Vince and everybody and Stephanie in WWE that it eventually led to him to just saying, F it, I quit. You know, and if you ever watch the documentary, you know, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Paul Heyman, fantastic documentary, it kind of goes over that. He doesn't speak a lot to it because he doesn't, you know, want to step on any more toes. But, I mean, why do this if you're going to end up making the same exact mistakes that you made before? You know, it doesn't make sense to me. But anyway, forgetting the larger picture, let's talk about SummerSlam itself and talk about some of the matches. There's a couple we can skip over. We're going to try and just kind of hit on the big ones. Yes, Gemma?
No, I'm trying to figure
out. Then why did you raise your hand?
I didn't raise my hand.
Yeah, you were over there, you know, putting your hands
up. I'm stretching.
Okay, well, then make it more like you're stretching, because I'm like, all right, Gemma's got a question. Gemma, you go ahead, take it away. And it's like, nah, I'm good. It's all right. La-dee-da-dee-da, I like suns, flowers, and rainbows, and unicorns.
I do have to admit, with SummerSlam, it may be one of my favorites, strictly because it started in 88.
I remember the first SummerSlam. I actually had it on. We recorded it on VHS on our new VCR that we had gotten.
I was less than 2 months old.
Yeah, I know. Too young for me, brah. Anyway, so here's the card as it kind of looks right now. We have Enzo and Big Kaz are facing Chris Jericho and Kevin Owens, who Michael Cole, and it seems WWE wants to call Jericho.
They need to stop putting Jericho with people and making these dumb names.
And just, yeah, trying to force the whole name. Yeah,
What was
that.
It?
Y2AJ? Y2AJ, which was terrible. Now, see, I could have gone with Y2KO. That makes sense.
That's what fans were saying, and I figured they'd go with it.
No, apparently not. So Jericho, which is just stop that. When it comes to that, you have to. Here's the thing. It sucks that I don't think Kevin Owens is going to go over, but you kind of have to put Enzo and Big Kaz over.
If they don't win, I'm rioting.
So it's either that, or, you know, maybe Kevin Owens leaves, doesn't have Jericho's back. Maybe he pulls kind of a heelish move on a heel. Maybe it's Jericho face turn, I can be okay with that, but if it's just a straight up loss for Kevin Owens, I'm gonna be like, I'm not sure.
It will be a nice feud if KO turns his back on Jericho starting a feud between the two.
That's it. KO has to be a heel to the heel. Like, he still won't be a face. Like, he can't turn face. But if he's a heel to a heel, I mean, that's perfect KO.
He's a heelier heel.
There you go. My prediction for that match is obviously Enzo and Kaz come out with the victory. I don't think there's any other way you can do that.
No doubt.
Roman Reigns versus Rusev for the WWE United States Championship. And that's a Raw branded match.
Let's not and say we did.
Well, we're going to have to watch the match. I am hoping against hope that they keep Rusev going as a monster. I hope they keep the strap on him. I hope it means something more than what it is. If you put it on Reigns, it's... Here's the thing. John... Okay, go ahead.
He embarrassed the company. He's the top guy, and he gets a wellness policy violation. And they're going to put the strap on him a month later?
That's the thing, because he had a couple match losses in a row, clean losses, by the way, too. So, I mean, it seems like that they have been... You know,
I don't see him winning a strap anytime soon.
I certainly hope not. So again, in that one, my prediction against better judgment, I'm going to say Rusev, even though I think, you know, Vince.
Let's not
Vince,
and say we did.
Vince has a chubby for Roman. We know that. So
I know it's terrible.
That's what's bad about this. Another Raw branded match is the Club, which is Gallows and Anderson, Dr. Gallows and Dr. Anderson, versus the New Day, which will be Kofi and Xavier, since Big E is still suffering from ring postitis.
Do they drop the titles? Do they give them to Gallows and Anderson?
I think they have to. Again, this is another one where I think the straps have to change hands. Because otherwise, then Gallows and Anderson are nothing. They don't mean anything. There's no credible threat there.
And a year-long title reign is more than enough.
I like that, and I like that New Day have had the straps for that long. I think they deserved to have it for that long.
They did.
But I think now you have to... There needs to be that other tag team division credible threat that you can start building a tag team division on. The tag team division seems so close to being good, and then it just they never seem to book it right. If they do this wrong, like they've done with the Wyatts in the past, so again, I wouldn't put it past them. I would say you know, that we're looking at, again, just another boring tag division. But to me, my prediction, the Club has to win. They have to win.
I think so. I really think that they're going to put the straps on them.
So I'm going to put that as the Club. Then we have the go home match, if you will. This is a SmackDown branded match. Cena versus Styles.
Again,
this is one where it's, I think, a passing of the torch, but I don't know if it's so much a passing of the torch, because AJ's kind of just as old as Cena is. But I think we're going to start seeing Cena take more of a backseat, hopefully, anyway.
I hope.
When it comes to wrestling and to the WWE in itself, and as far as being the main top guy in WWE, I hope to see him kind of take more of that backseat role. And even he said he kind of wants somebody else to take over that face of the company kind of role. So I think, again, to keep AJ Styles credible. And again, I'm a heel guy. I always root for the heel. I get that. But this is not from a heel rooting perspective. This is just from a good storyline perspective. If you have AJ lose, again, much like the Club, he's not credible. He's not a credible threat then. If he beats John Cena and beats John Cena now, or that would be a two or three matches in a row, even if you include the ones where the Club helped, if you have him win over Cena again, it makes that step, I think, a little easier.
I hope AJ wins. And has Cena won against AJ?
I don't
think it's been too much.
I don't know. The IC title is going to be between Cruz and The Miz, who's been champion for a while. I don't see them keeping a strap on Miz that much longer. I think Cruz wins this match, trying to give a little push there to a new NXT talent. Cruz, I think of all the talent that have come up, has the most work to do as far as his character and storytelling in the ring. I think he needs the strap more than anybody. So I think putting a strap-on Cruz to kind of help him along. I think that's not a bad thing. My prediction is Apollo will win the title.
I'm hoping Miz wins.
Going to try and run these through quick here because we're running out of time. Charlotte and Sasha Banks for the WWE Women's Championship. I think they keep it on Sasha. I think you have to. Plus, there's been talk that Charlotte's been looking to take some time off, so that kind of makes sense.
I'd put money on Banks.
Wow, that got loud.
Oh, wow.
Ooh. Well, we're awake for the end of the show now anyway.
Woo!
So I say Sasha Banks. You say Banks as well.
I say Banks.
Randy Orton versus Brock Lesnar in an interpromotional match. If you want to keep Brock the Monster, Brock has to win.
I don't see any other turnout.
All right, and quickly, the last two, Ziggler versus Ambrose. I think Ambrose holds on to the World Championship.
Same.
And Finn Balor versus Seth Rollins for the Universal Championship. If you want Finn to have any kind of run, any kind of push, Balor has to win the Universal Championship.
Balor better win, or I riot.
Balor has to win. I don't think there's any question about that. As for us here at Social Downfall Radio, we had a blast. We hope you did too. See you next week for King and Gemma.
Toodles.
It's King again saying goodbye for King. Goodbye.
Toodles.
Social Downfall Radio is a production of Skunk Duck Studios and is distributed by Brainstew Media.